Apparently my bio is not available, but I was asked to say something briefly about myself. I studied chemistry at Denison University in Granville, Ohio, went to medical school at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, studied internal medicine in Albuquerque, New Mexico at UNM, did a preventive medicine residency at Hopkins in Baltimore, and since the year 2001, I've been living in Nicaragua with my wife. She's a family physician, and we co-direct an organization called Amos Health and Hope, which is a community health worker program that works in 27 villages in rural Nicaragua. It's a small faith-based organization. Sorry about that long thing, but what I'd like you to know is that a lot of this work comes from the villages where we've been working, and I hope that in the audience there are students who can learn from this presentation. I have no relationships to disclose. And this is a list of the learning objectives for this talk, and I'll guide you through these one by one. The first objective is to go over what soil-transmitted helminths are. And STHs are a species of four nematodes, four different species that are transmitted through eggs that are excreted by human feces onto soil. The interesting thing about these parasites, one of the interesting things, is they do not multiply in the human host. They have to embryonate in the soil before reinfecting a person. The species that we're talking about are Ascaris lumbricoides, Trichuris trichura, Ancylostoma duodenale, and Necator americanus. The roundworm, whipworm, hookworms are all part of these four species that comprise the STHs. I have a picture here of an Ascaris adult, and this is approximately 7 to 8 centimeters long, but some of them can be up to 40 centimeters. This is a picture of a child who's been severely infected with a highly intense infection and is getting rid of the worms after treatment. The Trichuris worm is smaller. It's about 4 centimeters, actually, the adult, and can also cause, in some cases, some clinical manifestations, complications such as rectal prolapse. And this is a picture of the Trichuris on colonoscopy attached to the intestinal wall. The hookworms this is a picture of one of the different types of hookworms, just to let you see the anterior end, which the worm uses for attachment onto the host. In terms of the magnitude of the problem of STHs, these infections are diseases of poverty, and there are estimates that over 2 billion people around the world are presently infected. 300 million suffer from severe morbidity. About 155,000 deaths occur annually. And the population that is most at risk are children because of the effects of malnutrition, developmental delays, cognitive delays, iron deficiency anemia, and the other complications which you saw in the pictures. Deworming helps to meet the Millennium Development Goal number 4, which is aimed at reducing the under 5 mortality rate in children. And in the case of Nicaragua, there are very few studies to try to document the prevalence and intensity of soil-transmitted helminths. This slide is just to show you that the bottom three, the Trichuris, hookworms, and Ascaris, which are the STHs, are much more common than the other types of parasites listed here. In terms of the effects on humans, this slide shows you the different categories of effects. In terms of nutritional impact, you can see intestinal bleeding or anemia. You can also have malabsorption of nutrients, competition for micronutrients, impaired growth, and also diarrhea or dysentery. Impaired cognitive processes can also occur in association with infections, and some of the conditions may require surgical intervention in order to save the patient, such as the case of intestinal obstruction or complications like rectal prolapse. The second learning objective is to go over the transmission cycle of soil-transmitted helminths. And basically, there are three important steps in the transmission cycle. The first one, which I'd like to talk about, is just at the top. It's when an infected individual defecates onto the soil. And with the defecation occurs the deposit of thousands of eggs into the soil. The second step is when other individuals or the individual himself becomes infected, primarily through contaminated hands, eating with dirty hands, or in the case of the hookworms, it can occur also through larva penetrating the skin. The third step in the cycle is when the adult form of the worm is present and it's starting to produce its effects on the child, on the person, and also beginning to produce hundreds of thousands of eggs. In the case of Ascaris, up to 200,000 a day. Learning objective number three is to describe a methodology for evaluation of prevalence and intensity of STHs. And one of the things we'd like to share with you is the method we use, which is based in schools. The school setting makes it really easy to carry out massive dewormings of children and also to work with the community on this issue. A typical assessment of prevalence and intensity would include stool samples of about 200 to 250 children in ecologically homogeneous areas from randomly selected schools. And in Hellmuth control programs, the third grade is considered a good choice to evaluate the effectiveness of them because of the fact that the child will have been in school for several years and being a part of the program for the first and second and third grade. The study we did was in Nicaragua. This is a picture of Nicaragua and the area, the municipality where the study took place is San Jose de los Remates, which is in the central part of the country. Our study population was in the municipality, 24 rural villages. The total population was about 10,000, but we were focusing really on the children in the 24 rural schools, and there were a total of about 590 children in that area. And this is an area where we have ongoing work in the community-based primary health care program. We have direct contact with the health promoters and the community members, and the communities had expressed an interest in knowing if their children had parasites. Each community had been dewormed with mebendazole in October and April before the study was done. Our objective was to determine the prevalence and the intensity in the population from 6 to 9 years old in the schools. And the method we used was to, first of all, carry out a series of meetings with the community members, leaders, the government health department, known as MINSA, with MINED, which is the government education department. And we then collected stool samples from children in the schools for a total of 459 samples. These were then prepared by the Cato-Katz technique in order to count the eggs per gram of feces. The results were analyzed through EpiInfo statistical software and following the public health principle, which is very important, of doing no survey without service. We went ahead and treated all the children as well. The advantages of the Cato-Katz technique are that you can have qualitative information. You can tell what type, identify the type of species, and you can also quantitate how many eggs per gram of feces occur, and this can allow you to categorize the individual as having a no infection, light, moderate, or high intensity infection. This is a picture of the field lab. This is a picture of the different types of eggs. Ascaris on the left, the middle are the hookworms, which are indistinguishable, the ancylostoma from the nicator, and the trichuris is on the right. Our results showed a prevalence of trichuris in 39.7% of the children, of Ascaris in 16.1%. The overall cumulative prevalence was about 44%. The intensity infections occurred in the case of trichuris in 8.1% of the population studied, and Ascaris in 9.6%, for a total cumulative presence of 14.6%. In terms of the recommendations on the frequency of deworming, the World Health Organization has a scheme where you have on the left, you have the categories of intervention being 1, 2, or 3. Category 1 is when the prevalence is greater than 70% or the intensity is high, greater than 10%. And for that category, the recommendations are to deworm 2 or 3 times a year. Category 2 is when the prevalence is between 50 and 70% or the intensity is under 10% and the recommendation is at least once a year. And the third category is when both are low, the prevalence and intensity. And in this case, the recommendation is to treat individual cases. This slide is just a summary of all the different communities in the study. And at the bottom, you can see the red row has a cumulative prevalence of 43.6 and the intensity of 14.6. The overall prevalence was about 44%. This was similar to another study that had been done by the Ministry of Health in 2005 in peri-urban parts of the country at about 49%. Of concern was the fact that some communities had over 90% prevalence. In terms of the intensity, ours was 15%, and this was much higher than the 1.5% that had been seen before. This is a picture of the high prevalence communities. You can see them in the blue area. We noticed that they were pretty much clustered in one area of the municipality. And some of the factors that may have favored that are the high humidity there in the soil and also the shade, the fact that a lot of people were drinking water from streams, and the lack of sanitary systems. The limitations of the study were that, one, we were unable to read all of the slides within 30 minutes of preparation, which could lead to false negative readings for hookworms. The other thing is that the children enrolled in school that were not enrolled in school were not considered in the study, and this has been shown in other studies to be, it's likely that they could be higher, more heavily infected population. One concern that comes out of our study is that in other countries, it has been shown that mebendazole or albendazole have low efficacy against treacherous, and as you saw from our results, treacherous was the most common STH. So in order to eliminate this cycle, we can talk about, in terms of the first step, we can talk about having sanitation, latrines. In terms of the second step, you need health education. In terms of the third, you need the drug treatment. And this is what you really need to control the helminths: health education, sanitation, and treatment. In terms of the big picture, remembering this is a disease of poverty, we really also should be talking about, when we talk about solutions, the eradication of poverty, development, and health for all. And the fifth thing, which I'd like to close with, is just to mention that this project was a really neat example of collaboration between NGOs, which in our case was Amos Health and Hope, the local health department, the local education department, and also the committee members. So on that note, I'd just like to close and thank also or acknowledge some pre-med students from UCSD who were with us, Alan Ho, Nicholas Gastelum, and Christina Pham. Thank you very much for your attention.